We have our last time when I spoke, it has been a few months because I was traveling, and I looked at the first 10 verses or 9 verses of the book of Isaiah, prophecy of Isaiah. What I am planning to do in the remaining few minutes in front of me is to continue on that same chapter, Isaiah chapter 1, and continuing from verses 15 to 31. We looked up to 12 or 14. We may not have completed, but the first half we were looked at that time. We look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 to 31 for today. But just a reminder, since it has been a couple of months, 3 months ago. First of all, God brings to the attention of people of Israel about their sins that has gone almost beyond repair by themselves. He brought to their attention three things we looked at. God said he has been caring for them as children bringing up, parents bringing up children, but his care was nothing for them. God made it very clear to them, I have been caring for you, but my care is nothing for you. That was one sin they had. Sin number two, he claimed to be God who has been faithful to their fathers and grandfathers, but his claims was nothing to them. And number three, the sin number three, his character of God who has been showing mercy toward them, they completely ignored. Their sin has gone so far backwards, didn't even know about it. All of us can go in our spiritual walk backwards, and sometimes you may not even know that is happening. God calls in that first few verses of the chapter the whole creation as a witness against them. He calls his own creation and witness against the deep sins of God's people. And later on, in the same first few verses we looked at together, God made it extremely clear to them. They had rituals. That God despises religion. He made it clear to them. Rituals without reality was their problem. And sacrifices without obedience in verse 11. And then we also saw gifts without the giver. They ignored the giver. They are bringing gifts to the Lord. They ignore the command obedience, but they bring sacrifices regularly. This is the point of sin that God brought to their attention. Now, we also come in that passage, the greatest call of God to men and women to come to him for forgiveness. The greatest call in the entire scripture. We also notice not only here, but in other parts of the scripture, God always takes the initiative to reach out and God call people. It is never the other way around. People don't go after God and say, I want to know you. I want to do this. I want forgiveness. No, nobody goes. I never went. But God goes after people in their extreme helpless situation. And in Matthew, I want to look at one passage in the New Testament, but I'll read it for you. In Matthew 11, 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus Christ stood. We know this verse very well. And he called and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, here again, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing and calling people, please come unto me. I don't see people going after him. Well, they went after him for food and miracles, and they wanted to see signs and wonders. But God, the Lord is calling them to come to me. When God calls somebody, he has answers. Otherwise, he won't call. He calls people to come unto him. He has the answers for their problem. God takes initiatives. Now, he has exactly the appropriate solution for their need. When he calls them, let me ask you, All of us in this room are in need of something in our life, or some problem, or something that we need. I tell you that I can point it out to anybody, any human being. I can point you to God who has the answers. He is calling people unto himself. Give rest in the by the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the most lacking experiences in Christian life for many believers today, they are restless, no rest. Remember the Lord Jesus himself, while he was on this earth, he called his disciples and said, come aside, let us rest. The Lord wants you to rest, believers. Yes, we should be the most hardworking people on earth. That I agree. Believers and Christians should be the very hardworking people wherever God has placed you. Whether it is in your university or in your school or in your workplaces or home, wherever God has placed you, we should be the most faithful and hardworking people. But God wants you to rest also. The Lord Jesus is offering that to you. Our daily walks of life, different wherever God has placed you, he can give you rest and nobody else. I have a conversation with the people around. People are very tired. And they say, we have no rest. I'm so busy. I am so tired without rest because they're working so hard. Beloved, whatever kinds of problems that is making you tired and restless, there is a source where you can get rest. Come to him. Maybe it's our sin. Maybe it is disappointments. Maybe family conflicts, stressful work environment, raising children. I don't know what it is for you, or if it is a combination of all these. But there is rest available today, and the Lord is calling you, come unto me. Jesus made it very clear in these verses. Please go to him. We use these verses not only in Isaiah, but here also for preaching the gospel, which is very good. That should be called out in the gospel messages. But it doesn't end there. It is also for you and me. Come unto me. You are a heavy laden. I will give you rest. There is another thing that Isaiah 1, when we read that there is one warning that is given to us. Scriptures give solemn warning that your prayers will not be answered. Listen to me. Your prayers will not be answered if there is unconfessed sin. Sin of any nature that I described earlier. You and I, this one really trembles my feet when I read that passage. The Lord says, before you come, here in the first chapter, sorry, I didn't read all the passages. Lord says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from you before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. There are two commandments there. One is a negative approach, which says, first of all, you do your own cleaning. Wash you, make you clean, put away evil. That is what you are supposed to do even before you go. And the next commandment is the positive thinking for that thought, teaching. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. It is evident that God cares for the fatherless and the widows. It is repeated again in verse 23. There are several references in the New Testament that God cares for the fatherless and the widows. Today's society has mainly, I should say, mostly ignored this group of people, but God cares for them. James 1:27, we read like this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Beloved, God cares for these people who are helpless in their situation. So the Lord says, you should learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. There are many organizations and people and churches are trying to do help to these people who are helpless in their life. Now, the two things, so the negative approach that Isaiah brought and the positive approach that Isaiah bringing, there is in between, I want to make it very clear that there is no standing still in Christian life. Either you go forward or you will definitely go backward. There is nothing called standing still. I am still the same 5 years ago. No, it doesn't happen. You will go backwards if you don't go forward. This is very clear throughout the scriptures. But if you refuse, there's a great warning Isaiah bringing to the people. In verse 20 says, if you refuse and rebel, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. By the way, this is the fourth time in this chapter that the Lord is speaking, mouth of the Lord is speaking, God is speaking for a fourth time here. There's one more time later on. Now he says, come now. Beloved, come down. If you need rest, if you need forgiveness, if you need blessing, if you need help from the Lord, come, but not tomorrow, come now. Today, as we read, is the accepted time. All these are good for gospel messages, but I believe it is good for you and me. Come to the Lord and come now when you are in need, needs of life. Then he says, let us reason together. It amazes me how God speaks. In this one statement alone, come now and let us reason together, is the wonderful grace of God revealed to us. He doesn't have to do this. The lesson, we who are helpless, as we remembered at the very beginning, we who are helpless, he could have just left us alone. Even after we became believers, we go our own ways. God could have left you alone the way that you are going. But now he says, come now. Let us reason together. I see the mercy. You remember that? I see the grace. I see his love, which he extends to his believers, his Christians, you and me, once again to come and reason with him. Doesn't matter what kind of problem you have. It can be small, it can be big, or something in between. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. I looked up to see what is scarlet means. Scarlet means, I have it somewhere here. It is a very deep dyed color. Very deep dye color. Incidentally, I was doing a little touch of paint yesterday. I had a good shirt I was wearing. It got on my shirt. I tried everything I know. Every chemical, every metal brush, I tried. Didn't come out. It reminded me of this. Of scarlet. Means deeply dyed color and permanent in nature. Only God's grace can and power can clean it and make it. I'm not talking about the shirt. I'm talking about our sins and our nature, and only make it white as snow. And there is another word in that passage. It's called crimson. What does that mean? Jesenius says the word crimson means metaphorically used as of a weak and despised man. Very weak means, despised means helpless people. Again, it is pointing to us. If you are helpless this morning in your problems and difficulties life, it may not be the sin before our salvation, but the sin after our salvation, it can be made white as clean. And verse 19 says, if you be willing, and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Come on, pause for the moment there. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. What does that mean? Many Christians today, including me sometimes, we live our Christian life and do not enjoy the fullest of it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I come to give you life, but give you life abundant. How many of us are living abundant life? You can answer that yourself. Because if you are willing, you will eat the good of the land. Meaning you will enjoy Christian life. You will enjoy thoroughly, abundantly, as the Lord meant it to be for you and for me. Application for you and for me is, on these passages, you are not enjoying spiritual life to its full and blessings simply because of your rebellion to obey, as what the scripture said. We are rebellious in obedience. Therefore, we do not enjoy the fullest of God's blessing. Now, the remaining part of the passage, I will not go into details. 21 to 30, 31, God determines few things in their life. Their judgment, what God is going to do. Because the people of Israel are so hard-hearted, they did not listen. They are not willing to listen and to be, obey. Therefore, God looked at them, looked at Jerusalem and said three things. He looked at the past, looks at the Jerusalem in the past, verse 21. He looks at Jerusalem of today, and he looks at Jerusalem of future in 24 to 31. What does it mean to you today if God looks at your personal life of the past, of today, and of future, and make judgment upon us? What will that be? Or what will that look like? God will make judgment. Don't allow God to make judgment on you while you still have opportunity to do it yourself. I believe it is better that I do my own and you do your own. Please don't allow God to intervene, judge you. If you don't obey, the Lord will intervene. And he will do the judgment. He will do the cleansing. When you have the opportunity today, beloved brothers and sisters, well, God is calling you. Oh, come unto me if you are in burden or in pain. Come and come now. Let us reason one another. Same God of who called Israel through Isaiah is calling you and me. Come, let us reason together. God will have answers to your problem. Our Father, we thank you. This morning we can come back to this passage again to look up the scriptures and study. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place. You are our Savior, our God, whom we have the opportunity to approach. You have saved us, we called us and saved us from our sin, brought us into marvelous light. This morning, we also are many times, many of us are so far behind in our call that we do not enjoy the spiritual life here on this earth as you have promised to us. Help each one of us to come. Come to him. Come to the Savior who has the answers, who has the mercy, who has love and kindness, and who is calling even this morning. Please help all of us be obedient to your call. Let not the judgment of God come upon us. Oh, Father, we pray that you be with us rest of this morning. You speak to our hearts as we record. We give you all the glory and praise and worship and thanksgiving. The matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.